about Christianity and blackness, nonviolence and violence, love and hate. I tried to demonstrate that in my writings about black liberation theology. I thought about Martin and Malcolm as I developed the central themes, A Black Theology of Liberation, 1970, The Spirituals and the Blues, 1972, and God of the Oppressed, 1975. But their flames still burned hot within me. I continued to wrestle with both of them at a deeper level in order to understand more fully their political and cultural meaning. For nearly 10 years before writing this text, I immersed myself in their world, as they overshadowed nearly everything I thought, read, debated, and wrote. The Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush years of the 1980s and early 1990s clearly showed how much America needed Martin and Malcolm, especially in the light of the criminalization of black America expressed in the Willie Horton ad and the elevation of Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court. Rethinking Martin and Malcolm and America 20 years later, I realized that this book expresses what I wanted to say about these two great flames of freedom, and there is nothing to add or subtract. Are Martin and Malcolm still needed in the 21st century, this so-called post-racial age? Have we moved beyond the need to talk about blackness? Are we not just Americans, no longer defined by the color of our skin? Perhaps, but I would not bet on it. We need Martin and Malcolm today precisely because many people think we have moved beyond the need to talk about race. Nothing could be further from the truth. The rising dominance of conservative, right-wing religious and political discourse in our national life shows the enduring significance of race. The election of Barack Obama as the first black president has in many ways served to heighten racial awareness among white people, inciting some to defend their privilege, with many taking up the Tea Party's popular slogan, "Take Back America." White supremacy has not gone away. It lurks behind the persistent doubt that Obama is a real American, in the racial profiling slash criminalization of young black males, in the stigmatizing of welfare and food stamp recipients, and in systematic efforts to disenfranchise black voters. It has merely changed its form of expression, making it difficult for some people to see it and to name it. In a persuasive analysis, Michelle Alexander calls it the new Jim Crow. It is different from the old Jim Crow, which was open and often legalized, defined by segregation and lynching. The new Jim Crow is less visible, but it accomplishes the same thing, the subordination of blacks and the elevation of whites. No one could name white supremacy like Martin and Malcolm. That is why we still need them. If we do not name white supremacy, we cannot destroy it. If we do not name it, we cannot get beyond it to what Martin called the beloved community, and Malcolm called freedom for all human beings. We still need both of them to remind us as Americans that we are fighting against injustice in all its forms and fighting for the liberation of all people. As Martin put it, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. James H. Cohn, June 2012. Preface. This book is about Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X, their relationship to each other and their meanings for America. The dream and nightmare images are used to focus their perspectives on America and to reveal something about the audiences to whom and for whom they spoke. In memory, as in life, Martin King and Malcolm X are still highly controversial African-American leaders. More than 20 years after their assassinations, their names arouse passionate acceptance or rejection, and few people, black or white, have unbiased opinions about them. Thus, it is important for any interpreter to beware of misleading notions about them that are promoted by both their admirers and detractors. The best way to gain reliable knowledge about Martin and Malcolm is through a careful examination of the life and thought of each figure in relation to the other and in the light of the two main resistance traditions in African American history and culture, integrationism and nationalism. In the introduction, the meaning of integrationism and nationalism for African American intellectual history is briefly described, and a plea is made to freedom-loving Americans to turn to Martin.